Star Perry Bays. What? Yeah, Chol Milah. Yeah. They had like at the end. He came in as a guest. Okay, so page 420. We're not, even though we've gone through a little Mefarshim, but we're not really finished. We're going to come back. We are going to come back at some point in time to discuss some topics relating to Perek Aleph. But right now, for today, let's begin Perek Beis. I want to go forward a little bit. Vayiman Hashem Dog Godol Livloya Es Yoyna. Perek Beis, page 420, Pasuk Aleph. Hashem prepared. The word Vayiman is a very, very beautiful word. Preparation. Nothing good in this world comes without preparation. Okay, so here it says, even Hashem prepares. We have to really find, really define the word Vayiman with more precision. Okay, in the Mitzudos Tzion, he says the word Vayiman inyan hazmana. It means to prepare. Kimay Vayiman lahem hamelech, the king prepared. Okay, that's we'll keep that in mind. We'll have to go look a little bit more. Rashi elaborates on the word Vayiman, he has some drashas of man. The word Vayiman comes from the man that Hashem fed the fish with man. Okay, let's see. Vayiman Hashem dog godol levloya es yoyin. Hashem prepared a fish, not just any fish, a fish godol levloya to swallow es yoyin. Vayhi yoyin levei hadog. Yoyin was in the stomach. The me'ei doesn't necessarily mean the stomach. That's not necessarily correct. The word bimei means in the innards, on the inside. Oh, the intestines. It depends. The word bimei depends on the context. Bimei adog shleisha yamim u'shleisha leilos. Now notice it doesn't say that the fish swallowed him. We only know that the fish swallowed him indirectly. Ikar choser min hasefer. Hashem prepared a very large fish. And the purpose, Hashem groomed this fish, the day will come when you will swallow Yonah. But it doesn't tell us that he actually swallowed Yonah. It just, Hashem prepared this fish, he was groomed all these years. And now, we fast forward, we are in the middle of the story, and at the point that we pick up the story, Yonah finds himself in the inside of this fish. Isn't it a little strange? Shouldn't the pasuk tell us Hashem to go through all the details, the drama of how exactly it happened? The whole scene, this whole scene, it was cut from the story, what actually happened. Okay, now, and he was there for 3 days. Let's just do this pasuk. Let's pasuk one at a time, because each pasuk over here is very interesting. Pasuk Aleph in the midst of the David. Vayiman means his minis adag levloya oisa miyad shelo yitba bimei hayom. So the Mitzudos David adds here a detail, Livloya, doesn't say this in the Sefer, he's coming to add more information, to swallow him immediately, that he should not drown. Shlo yitba b'mei hayom, he should not drown in the yam. Now this was a miracle. Question is, when Hashem is doing miracles, Hashem is not limited, Hashem could do a miracle that Yonah can live in water. Hashem could do a miracle that Yonah will find a raft, will go grab onto a board. And the fish, if it's necessary for him to be swallowed in the fish will swallow him later. So for whatever reason, that's not what he says. So in the midst of the stuff, we have to see where he gets us from. He wrote that he swallowed him immediately. There should be no other miracle. There's no other intervention. The moment he was thrown into the yam, immediately he was swallowed. Rashi is very interesting. Rashi over here says a whole discussion. We want to wish a Mechola Mazel Tov on the beautiful chasna last night of his granddaughter. And Yirtz Hashem, this simcha shall lead to other simchas. You should continue to have a lot of nachas from all of your children and grandchildren.
Thank you.
Vayiman Hashem, oison shisha osa yom shechashu yishol min haman shlo ochlu arboim shana shleimim. Here's an incredible Maimon Chazal, Rashi cites. There were 16 days that are missing from the calculation of the 40 years. It says in the Pasuk that Hashem fed the Jewish people man for 40 years. Now, if we were to make the calculation, which I'm not all that good at, okay, if we make the calculation, maybe we'll come across it here somewhere, if I don't remember that we do, then we will discover that what's missing. It's the numbers do not add up. Let's try now for a moment. Raevsky can help us here with the...
So he's a long order. happened on that pasuk. Start to make the cheshbonis that it was from Yutes Vavir or whatever it is.
Okay, so
when the 40 years began.
So it's right. It's there is whatever. We're not going to go through the details because I don't know. But it appears there are different opinions as to how many days was missing from the calculation of exactly 40 years. Okay, so here it says Rashi's tradition. Rashi's trying the Tanhuma. Oisun Shisha also yom with 16 days. Shechashu Yisrael min Hamon. Sheloi Achlu. Arboim shonim shleimim. So what happened to that man? The pasuk says there was man Haman zelokach Hakadosh Baruch Hu pirnes es hadog. The dog ate. The 16 days of the man were consumed by the fish. Shlo yukal Yona bimeav. So Yona should die. Yukal should not be consumed in the inside of the fish. So what does that mean exactly? Does that mean that the fish had the Yona ate man in the fish? Is that what it means? Or does it mean that the fish, the environment of the fish, since the fish was sustained from the man, so being in the environment of the fish automatically is a zone where you can miraculously survive. It seems to be more along those lines. Upirnes es adag hashelo yukal yona b'meyav v'gam yona ochal. Oh, he says first v'gam yona ochal b'soychay mizeh haman. Yona ate man at this point in time. Luchay nemar vayiman. What's vayiman? Vav yud mem nun. The mem nun is man, and the vav yud is 16. The 16 days that the man was missing, the Jews did not eat the man during those 16 days of the 40 years, was put in storage in this fish. Oisiois yudvav, man, v'chein vayiman kikoyon, later on. Okay, later on, when he comes, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he prepared this kikoyon, this tree. What's a good translation for kikoyon?
Eucalyptus.
I can't pronounce that. I'm sorry, everybody's saying. Okay, some type of tree that was going to provide shelter and shade.
Well, any more than, we don't know for sure what it is, any more than we know what this fish was. So.
Okay, so this type of kikoyon, this type of tree, shoyoichel arbo'o oimorim, four measures. Okay, this thing, it says l'chei nemar arba pa'amim vayiman. This an oimer is a measure. It's a measure of v'haman. What do I say in the past? Oimer la gulgoyles, an omer per skull. It's a measure
per capita.
There's a measure of a volume of food of how much each person was instructed to retrieve, to collect from the field for the day, what to eat. And that omer, the pasuk goes on and tells exactly what the calculation is, which I don't know what it is, but it says over here the word vayiman kikoyon shoyoichel arbo'o oimorim. So it says here, vayiman, Hashem prepared the kikoyon, Yona ate four measures for oimorim, because it says word vayiman four times. L'chei nemar arbo'o pa'amim vayiman. Okay, so he's telling us over some midrash, which we're going to see a little more in the bottom. We'll see over here in other places as well. He's very fascinating midrash that Yona ate man. How much man did he eat? He ate four measures of man. Where did the man come from? The 16 missing days from the 40 years that man was given to this world. It was put in storage. Who held it in storage? This fish. The fish ate some of it, it seems, and the fish. Something was stored inside the stomach for Yonah to eat.
I like it better what the Abarmel says. I mean, what are we concerned about? The fact that he survived 3 days in a fish. I don't care what he ate. That concerns you. Moshe was 40 days in Har Sinai. We have to think about what he ate.
Excellent. So exactly, hit nail on the head. That's exactly the point. We're coming to contrast Yonah versus Moshe Rabbein. Exactly.
Well,
Moshe, you see, this is also very significant in why... In why we read this, everything always comes back to the same point. We read this on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was the day when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain and gave Klal Yisrael the Luchos Shniyos. It was day 40 of Moshe Rabbeinu not eating, not eating for 40 days. It was the culmination of 120 days of being in Shemayim, three different tekufos, and in Shemayim, he ate nothing. Moshe ate nothing. At the end of Yom Kippur, we're describing Yonah. What did Yonah eat? He ate man. What is man? Man, Chazal says, Lechem Abirim. It is the food of angels. So here's the question. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to Shemayim, why didn't he eat man? If in Shemayim they serve man, so Moshe should eat man. Chazal tell us. But Moshe says, Lechem lo yachalti. Lechem lo yachalti, mayim lo yishosisi. It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu in Shemayim ate nothing. He was on a diet. But in Shemayim there was food to eat. There was man. Man is called the Lechem Abirim, the food of angels. Yonah, on the day that we read and we dwell upon Teshuvah, we dwell upon Yonah, Yonah ate. Yonah ate man. Also, let's not forget, Yom HaKippur was the only day of the year when the Kohen Gadol entered Lifnai V'Lifnim. What is Lifnai V'Lifnim? Man. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kach Tzinsen Nesachas, V'sen Shama, Niloy Oimer Man. Yonah went into an environment that preserved the man of the Midbar, similar to the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKodashim, an environment that likewise preserved the man of the Midbar. There's a direct parallel between Yonah, the fish, is the Kodesh HaKodashim. In the Kodesh HaKodashim, you're in a zone that is L'malo Miderech HaTeva. It's in the water. We just don't need water. No one can survive in water. You're in an environment in the middle of nowhere, of the ocean, surrounded by water. And also, by the way, what is water? Water is Hoikol Tzame L'chu L'mayim. Water is always a metaphor for Torah. The Kodesh HaKodashim is a zone. What's in this Mokoyim? The Luchos, the Torah. And what else is there with the Luchos? The Tzinsenes Achas. The container of man that was a carryover from the Midbar was there as well. And that's what Yonah ate. When the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim, does he eat from the man? Does he eat from the man? No. Who does the Kohen Gadol identify with? Moshe. Yonah or Moshe? Moshe. Because Moshe, he went into an environment where there was man, Lechem Abidim, Moshe lechem lo yachalti umayim lo yishasisi. Yonah went into the Kodesh HaKodashim and had a meal. He had four measures of man. Interesting, the Kohen Gadol goes in the Kodesh HaKodashim how many times? Four times. Every time you go into the Kodesh HaKodashim, you don't just come into the Kodesh HaKodashim, you go to a restaurant. You sit down to a meal. What's the measure? Oimer lagul goyles. Yonah went into the smokim and he had man. It says here he vayiman ki koyon. He says he. I don't know exactly. We have to see he ate man four times. It seems like from what Rashi seems to be saying, we have to see a little later on. There'll be more with Rashi.
Says that the missing 30 days.
Oh, exactly. What I told you chiluke deos. So it's the same Rashi. No, we have only one Rashi. I know. Right. That's right. That's what I said. The chiluke deos. How many days from the calculation was missing from the 40 years? Es hamon ochlu arbohim yoim. If the Torah says we ate man for 40 days, it means we ate for 40 years. It means we ate man for 40 years. Oh, but the calculation is lacking. It's not lacking. It's just that during those 40 years, okay, there were a number of days that we did not eat. Someone else was mashlim when it was eaten. So if the calculation is, according to those, that there were 15 days when man was not eaten during those 40 years, okay, we just take those 15 days and we fast forward and we deposit it in the time of Yonah. Yonah ate. Yonah, who represents Klal Yisrael, he's the Shliach Tzibur for Klal Yisrael. He's eating man those 16 days. So it's true. Uvinei Yisrael ochlu es harmon arboim shana. They ate man 40 years. They ate man for 39 years. for 40 years minus 16 days in the time of the desert, and the other 16 days they ate during the time of Yonah. So the Torah is Emes. Torah's Emes. The man was eaten by the Jewish people for 40 years. You just have to know how to make when to put together the numbers. The time is not necessarily contiguous. Okay, this is the twilight zone here. When there are zmanim of their times, time, you have a slice of time here, a slice of time here, a slice of time there, together makes up the 40 years.
Tamu Tambon. And then also when they got into the land, they had leftovers. So, in other words, comes to 30. You know, he says, half, like you just said, half part here and part there. So
there are different. So that's another interpretation. How do you get the 40 years? Okay, but he's learning. Okay, we have to really see all the different. And it's the same Rashi. See, Rashi very often. It's very often that Rashi contradicts himself. Rashi, depending on the context, Rashi presents a different perspective. Elu v'elu divilakim chayim. Rashi, that's the whole philosophy. What exactly is Rashi's goal in his commentary? He's not here to tell us everything. He's not an encyclopedia. He's coming to tell us that there are many mamori chazal, elu v'elu divri elokim chayim, and in each given situation, I'm going to present to you in the context of this topic what fits the best. However, you have to understand that they don't necessarily, there's a contradiction to another interpretation I've given elsewhere. But that's not my goal. My goal is, in each context, to understand it the way it is. Okay, that's very different than the Rambam. The Rambam, see, if the Rambam would have written a parish in Chumash, it would have been so fascinating. He did.
Where?
In the Vatican.
That's what there were people that were memorizing the page at the time.
So let's break into the Vatican and get it.
The Chumash from the Rambam. They said it's definitely there. He did write. We don't have it.
Chaval. Because Rambam, I remember I once told this to you, it blew my mind. I asked Rav Simcha Soloveitchik, okay, he runs, has a coil around the corner here. I once said to him, why are the Soloveitchiks obsessed with the Rambam? I told you this many times. What's the obsession with that? So he said, he basically says, because the Rambam is consistent. The Rambam is the only Rishon that you can pask in a halacha, Hilchas Barachos, from a halacha of Hilchos Bekvois. The logic of the Rambam and its commentary is thoroughly consistent like none other. So any Rambam in the entire Yad HaChazaka is fair game in order to give you, to provide insight into any other halacha anywhere else. Whereas all other Rishonim, first of all, many of them didn't even write on all of Shas or all of Kol Torah Kula. And even what they did write, it's like Rashi. Case in point. Rashi, his whole mahalach is in Sefer Yonah. From the context, the pshat is 16 days are missing from the 40 years. In Chumash, Rashi will tell you it's 30 days. So Rashi is deliberately inconsistent. Because Rashi's focus is Leibasi Elo Lefarish, in the context of what you're studying, we're not going to confuse you with Kol HaTorah Kula. We want to give you clarity in the context of what you're studying. Is it a contradiction to what I wrote elsewhere? It certainly is. It certainly is. And Elu V'Elu Divri Elokim Chaim, you have to understand there are many dimensions, but if we're coming to say Pshat, we accept contradictions.
Because I noticed now, I had mentioned to you that he wrote Vayikra, the Sefer Vayikra, his portion, after he finished not just the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, he wrote it after, because here I see in this week's Parsha, he says, as I said in Amos, he waited till he didn't understand Vayikra, how to write it. He wanted to be consistent. So he waited until he digested Kol HaTorah Kula. In other words, all the Nevi'im as well. And then he could understand Parshas Kukukos, he said.
He works with the Mahalich of the Rambam. Right. Of the Rambam. But Rashi was deliberately rejected that approach. Rashi says, I know, you can sometimes you don't understand, you cannot understand something unless you have the full, from the, there's more, bigger picture. And of course, Rashi did have the bigger picture. But yet, in many instances, he chose deliberately to reject other elements that he wrote about elsewhere, because loibasi el lafarish, which is understood to mean that in this context, in this story, a Rebbe, Rashi, is the Rabban Shel Yisrael. The Rabban Shel Yisrael, in many areas, is right now, let us learn this for the moment. And we're learning this for the moment. Let's understand this.
That's where he disagrees with Rashi.
Exactly.
You're not consistent.
If the Rambam would have written the Perush on Chumash, he's saying he did, it would be amazing, because the Rambam's style is consistency. So then you would never have something like this. The Rambam, if he would tell you what it means, the pasuk in Chumash, what it means, and he would ask the question, oh, it's not true. It's not true, Arboim Shana, it's less. And he would explain what it means there. He would be forcing himself to explain his interpretation over here in Yonah to be consistent. There would be a whole different approach to understand. Okay, anyway, let's go further. Over here it says, Vayiman ki koyin, shahaya ichal arbo, vayiman. Therefore, according to this interpretation over here, we have to really go in to see the big picture. I don't know, I didn't get so far, obviously, in Perek Dalet. It says the other word vayiman as well, and Rashi here is coming to connect the word vayiman that is said in regard to the fish, to the sugya of the kikoyon. And there it says vayiman as well. Rashi seems to connect them together and said that it's a total number 4 times in Yonah the word vayiman. So it seems that Yonah, he took with him in his backpack some of the man that was in the fish with him to the kikoyon to have a meal when he arrived there. What about the principle that the man decays, the spoils? It doesn't last more than a day. Right, it doesn't listen. So he's in the Kodesh HaKodashim, that was Xeris HaKosef, to remain there. But here he's eating it. So if he's eating it, it says that he's taking it out of the fish with him to the Kikoyoin. He's saving it for the next day. What's going on over here? Obviously, all these things have to be understood.
Yeah,
we have to.
Hashem
says that.
Okay,
we have to see layers.
This is an
opening to the sugya of the mon. And at least we should take out of it these ideas where the man is lechem abirim. Moshe, when he went to Shemayim, we do not find him eating man. On the Yekoyin Gadol, he goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim. There's a container of man. Did he help himself to some of the man? It says in the Pasuk, V'chol Adam lo yiyeh b'oyel moyed b'vo l'chav b'kodesh. No one is allowed to watch what happens inside the Kodesh HaKodashim, even a malach, Chazal said, v'chol Adam, Yerushalmi, even a malach. I always like to tell you that when Mashiach will come, very soon, and Yom HaKippurim, so they're going to have to shut down all of the spy satellites. Today, we all know, it's not a joke, they have technology where they know exactly what we're saying, if they want, if the government wants, they can record every word that we say. They can see everything that we're doing. They have heat sensors, all this fancy high-tech stuff, and it's probably a lot more advanced than we imagine. If already we know what they were doing 30 years ago, it's unclassified, some of the technology that they already had 30 years ago. You can only imagine what they have today, the spooky stuff they have today. So there's no doubt about it. Here we are in this room over here. If the government wants, they can know exactly everything that we're saying and our movements. So, the Kodesh HaKodashim, what's the big deal? It's a two-story building. Okay, out in the Middle East, and out in the open field, big deal. They put a few satellites in the sky. Israelis themselves, they have the technology to know exactly what the Kohen Gadol is doing in the Kodesh HaKodashim when he comes there. And the Torah says, V'chol Adam lo yeh b'ol moed, afilu malach. If malachim are not allowed to know what's going on in the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom HaKippurim, alachas kama v'kama, all of the spy satellites have to be shut down. No? Isn't that logical? Isn't that logical? You say that a satellite is better than a malach? Torah only says... What?
Lead line the wall.
They probably have technology that can. I'm sure they have technology that can break through the lead. No question about it. They have technology. So Rabbi said, "What's the Yetzer Hara? Who cares? What is it so important to know what he did in the Kodesh HaKodashim? So the simple answer you're going to give me is, the tztoikim, they had a mishagas, where they would first make the ketores outside and walk in the kodesh hakodashim with already the column of smoke already going up. So that's a no-no. The halach is you have to go into the kodesh hakodashim. When you're in the kodesh hakodashim, then you pour the ketores on the coals. That's halacha. And in fact, they would make the tztoikim swear. They would make the tztoikim take everyone swear, they would make the kohen gadol take a shvua, that don't you dare deviate, don't you dare pour the keteres onto the coals before you go into the kodesh hakodashim. But Rabbi said that tztoikim are long gone. So what today is the Yetzirah? So I want to suggest the Yetzirah is to taste the man. You go into the kodesh hakodashim, you want to taste, there's a container of man. There's some good food in there. It's Yom Kippur, you're hungry after all. If you eat the man, you'll live forever. No, Yonah, look at the story of Yonah. Yonah went into a makom where you can't survive. He went inside the fish. And the fish is a zone. You're going to die. What kind of thing is this? And what does Rashi tell us? Do you know the secret of survival for Yonah? He ate the man. Because the Yonah consumes 16 days of man. He came there. How did he survive?
Yeah,
he ate the man.
All the people who ate the man in the Midbar died.
That was in the Midbar. Because the Midbar, the man of the Midbar, the man of the Midbar obviously had an expiration date. But there was a special run. There was preservatives. There was preservatives added to the man that was the tzenes haman in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And look at Yonah. Yonah ate the man and he survived. So maybe we can suggest the Yetzahara of the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is to eat the man. Wouldn't you have a Yetzahara to eat, know what it tasted like? Anything. And who's going to know? V'chol Adam lo yihyeh b'oihel moed. Okay, so you learn the pasuk in Yonah of a whole new Yetzahara. What did the man to be a kohen gadol? You get a chance, you get a crack at it. You have a Yetzahara to go into the kodesh hakodashim to the tzenes saman. It's Yom Kippur. You're hungry. What better food? And you have all the lumbus. It's not food. It's only the Torah says the inisim es nafshoy seichem. Is that called eating the man? Is that a violation of the inisim es nafshoy seichem? Maybe it is. Maybe it's a different din. It's not a achila. Of oini to eat the man, are you chayef for v'nitzves nafshe seichem? These are new issues that come up. Okay, so they're not going to be able to trace it. This is a new idea. I think that comes, and I'm serious. I think this is a serious yetzahara of going into the kodesh hakodashim. What are you doing in there? Chazal have to say no one should know. No one should know that by no one knowing that only increases the Yetzirah. Obviously, the Torah wanted the Kohen Gadol to have the greatest possible Nisayon when he went into the Kodesh HaKadosh. I mean, why did the Torah demand no one should know what's going on? The common idea we always like to discuss is Emuna. Klal Yisrael has to place their faith in one man. Just like you have faith in Hashem. Hashem wants us to have faith in a person. The only way you can create a situation where you need to have faith in your fellow man that he'll do it right is if it's impossible for you to know what he is doing. The kapara of Klal Yisrael depends on this one man. All depends on him. Is he going to do it correctly? Will he sprinkle the blood 7 times, achas lamala, and 7 lamata? Will he do the ketores kehalacha? Will he do the dama par, dama sar kehalacha? The right order? No one knows. No one knows what he's doing in there. Who knows? Maybe he's taking out his smartphone, taking pictures. What's going on in there? The Torah says, I want you on this day of Yom Kippur to show me that you have faith in your fellow man.
But we didn't.
What?
They were choishanim.
They did toward the end. They were choishanim. They made him. But his bottom line is, he took a shul. He can violate the shul.
No, but you see that we need have faith in him.
We do have faith in him. Even with a shavuah, that's faith. What are you saying? Even with a shavuah, you have to have. Because who says he cares about the shavuah? Nice and machol yom. People, they go in front of a judge. They swear. They couldn't care less. So we have to have faith.
There was one thing, though. The kohen knew if he messed up, he wouldn't come out alive.
No, not necessarily. It didn't always happen. It didn't happen right away. 300 kohanim they all died. But everyone, but this is something which is l'malo miderech hatev. Everyone thought, it's not going to happen to me. Why did everyone else die? No. They circumstance, whatever the circumstances were. He was a yetzar. That's one shot. But there's another mahalik. And the other mahalik is to challenge the Kohen Gadol. When the Kohen Gadol knows that no one in the world can possibly know what I'm doing in here, that creates for him a very big nesayon. Because no one's going to know. He is being put in the ultimate nesayon a person can be put in, because no one knows what you're doing in there. Today we all know. You can't really hide today. No one today is safe. Everything that you do, someone can be watching. Every keystroke you make on a computer, it's recorded. It's recorded. The question is it exposed to the public? Okay, you need a warrant. It's all saved. Okay, your ISP, your internet service provider, they have a record of every keystroke you make, or at least every website you go to. So let's say, are they allowed to expose it to the whole world? No. If they'll be foolish to do so, because then they would go out of business and no one would want to use it, go to the competition. But if the police department, the FBI, if they issue a warrant, they have a criminal, and we need to know what he's been doing. When a judge gives an order, they give it over. Ma'isim b'chol yom. They give it over. And you think you delete it? It's not, nothing is deleted anymore. It's in the cloud. It's all there somewhere, buried in the cloud. Nothing is deleted. So today, and we know this deep down inside, today it's not possible, and even years ago, you never know who's watching. But when you go into the Kodesh HaKodosh, it's the halacha, v'chol adam lo yiyeh b'el moed afilu malach. It creates a nisayon that no one can possibly know. And the question, what's the nisayon? What is the big deal? What are you going to do in there already? Okay, so here we have a new element over here. We have over here mon inside. Okay, let's now go to the last part of the Rashi. V'loshen yava nikra mon kiko. Okay, kiko yoin. Now we have a new insight that Hashem prepared the kiko yoin. Hashem prepared the kiko. He's telling you that what was the kiko yoin? Just really explaining the first part of Rashi. We always translate the kikoyim means Hashem prepared this tree. There's some type of a tree which provided shade for Yonah. He's seemingly telling us a midrashic interpretation that no, the kikoyim was nothing more than food. Hashem prepared for Yonah man. Where did Hashem prepare the man? Where did he get the man? In the fish. The fish had the man. He came out of the fish. He took with him the man. And the man is called the kikoyoin. Why? The word kikoyoin, v'loshen yava nikra man kiko. V'alzeh nemar kik yoin. What's yoin? Yoin is yudvav. Well, yudvav, what's the nun? The nun is just a suffix. Some enhances the word. I'm not sure.
Oh, so it says in Greek, man is kika.
Right, so this is Rashi. Right.
Yeah.
V'alze ne'amar kik. Kik yon. Yavon. I'm sorry, I'm so foolish. Yavon. Okay. Yavon, it's kik, which is kika, same thing as kika, yavon. Kik, yavon. So here it's very, very unique. Wherever you have a word, we have many words that are Greek words.
Yes.
But we never give a attribution to where it comes from. Oh, this word, it's a Greek word. Okay, very nice. How do you know? Trust us. Here, if you don't want to trust us, kick, it's yavon. It's a Greek word. Is that?
So, let me just add something that's in practice here. This addendum, as well as that to the second pasuk appears only in Nach Lublin, not in any earlier editions. To my knowledge, its origin is unknown concerning the period of time our ancestors belonged to. But that's an interesting point.
What's it again? Can you say it?
It's only found in the Lublin edition of
this Rashi. This Chiluk of Rashi.
This edition.
Uh huh.
That could be that the Rashi didn't
write it. Someone added, editor added this. Interesting. Soid, over here it says it was Soid Mei Shorim, so obviously, this was, he writes over here in the art school, there's in the parentheses, it tells us over here, I don't know what this is, it's a Sefer, I assume. Soid Mei Shorim. Alright, next. Dog Gadol, what is the Dog Gadol? Zohar, how he was a male. How you know his dog? This is dog, not dog go. There's no hay. So what's the significance that it was a male and a female? A male is wide. The body of a female is narrow. If Yonah would have been swallowed by a female fish, he would have been squashed. It would have been uncomfortable. Really?
No, what he's saying is not that it's
ovaries.
The female also has ovaries.
So they take up more
room. More space. It takes us more space. Okay. Because there was plenty of room inside the fish of a male. Male has more room than the ovaries, you're saying? So therefore, Ramaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaDog VeHikiyoy, Hashem told the dog, spit him out. Dog Nikeva. And that's why it says later, it changes, we'll see next pasuk, it says, Mime'e HaDogo. How do we understand the difference between the dog and the dog? Hashem told the fish, spit him out. Shehaisa Malaya Uborim. The female was filled with Uborim, with children, with fetuses. Vahayasham B'doichak. Now it wasn't so comfortable. He was demoted from first class to economy. Not just economy, they put it by the bathroom. And now it was not so pleasant. The journey was not so pleasant. So now he said, it's time to daven mincha. Now you know why they're davening mincha there in the back. They need to stretch their legs. It's not so comfortable there. So v'hoya sham b'doichas v'nispalel sham nidaven v'dir shnemar mimei hadogah. And that's why we change here from dog to dogah. Okay, so an incredible insight that the Yonah was spit out from one fish, from a male fish to a female fish. He originally wanted that he should have a pleasant journey, but he did not take note of this hashkacha. He, Hashem, shift gears. Who does this remind us of? Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was taken down to Mitzrayim. How? A caravan, the people were selling nochois with Sri Veloit. Spice. What does Rashi say? Since when do Arabs carry, is their cargo spices, pleasant smelling items? Normally they carry neft. They normally carry things that have a pungent odor. Or what?
Neft.
Things which are. So Rashi says, what does Rashi say? Rashi says because he was a tzaddik. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show Yonah that there's a hashkocha process happening here, and why the unusual, even in this horrible experience of you being stripped naked and being thrown into a pit and a place of nechoshim v'akrovim and you miraculously surviving and then being sold, humiliated by being sold from one caravan to another caravan, I want to show you that it's b'hashkocha pratis, and that's why there's going to be the caravan is they're going to be transporting a cargo of something that's pleasant. This was a sign from above, and it appears that Yosef, Chazal telling us this, and when we contrast this to Yonah, Yosef got the message. Yosef drew inspiration from this event, and he used it obviously to help him. How do we know that has to be the case? Because here, in contrast, Yonah was swallowed by a fish and it was very comfortable inside. So since when is it comfortable to be swallowed by a fish? So when Hashem said Yonah did not get the message, did not get the message of the Hashkocha process that's happening over here, Hashem said, all right, this is not going to work. Let's squeeze you. let's change gears and make it uncomfortable, and maybe now you'll get the message.
Now, was it skinny?
What?
Was it skinny?
It says that it was a female fish that had ubodim, and it was uncomfortable. It was very, very tight. It says that now he. So what did he do? Now this goes over here into the next pasuk. Okay, let's in fact read the next pasuk right away. Vayispalel Yoina el Hashem Elokav. Yoina was mispalel el Hashem Elokav mimei hadoga. Rashi Hashem Elokav shitev din verachmu. What is this unusual expression Yudkei Vavkei with Elokav? Elokav is midas hadin. Yudkei Vavkei is rachamim. What's the combination? Shitev din verachamim zichus Avraham v'Yitzchak. And what does that mean exactly? That is something which is, then the next Rashi, Mimei ha-doga ze Yaakov. From the stomach of the doga is Yaakov. Question, what does Yaakov Avinu have to do with doga? With doga? And how does that relate to Yaakov? And incidentally, it appears to be telling us is that we only now vocabulary we only believe that Hashem has two midos. There's a midah of din, a midah of rachamim, and then there. That's it. That's all it is. B'yoyim b'roy Hashem Elokim, b'yoyim b'roy Hashem Elokim Ace
Hashem.
Eretz v'shemoyim. So Chazal tell us there that Allah b'machshavta elibroisa b'midas hadin. When Hashem saw that the world cannot serve midas hadin, Hashem was mishtatif midas hadin midas harachamim. Okay, so that's it. There's only two things in the world, and look what's happening over here in this Rashi. There are three things. There is din, rachamim, and then mimei hadaga ze Yaakov. So what is going on over here? So I want to try to think out loud with you that there's another madrega called cheshbon. There's din, rachamim, and there is cheshbon. What's din is you did an avera, you're punished. You did a good deed, you're rewarded. Rachamim means you did an avera. You know what? Forget it. Averas are out the window. Then there's something in the middle. It's not din. It's not rachamim. It's cheshbon. It's calculation, which is you did an avera. Okay, you deserve to be obliterated. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not forgiving you, but I'm going to delay it. I'm going to delay. It's not rachamim. Rachamim is mocholoch, mocholoch, mocholoch. I forgive you. Cheshbon is, you know what, let's wait. Because maybe down the line, the circumstance will change and you'll do teshuva and then I will trigger the rachamim. The din is tolu v'oymet. There is no rachamim, but cheshbon. You know, you have a whole life yet to live. Let's see what you could accomplish later in your life. Let's make cheshbonos. Let's make calculations. And let's see how things play out. And based upon the way things play out, we'll reevaluate, reassess at a later point in time. When Hashem made the world, enochinami, there was no such thing as cheshbon. We would say, din v'cheshbon. Right? Asher, you give a person this din v'cheshbon. What does it mean, din? There are many interpretations. What it means, din v'cheshbon. But what is this thing called din v'cheshbon? This din. It's the yoyim ha-din. I'm oymei lefnei HaKadosh Baruch, I'm going to give din.
So are you saying it's verdict and execution?
No, I don't want to say execution. I would say, Let's wait. Let's see and wait. In Shemayim, there is din v'cheshbon. What does it mean cheshbon? Let's say a person comes to Shemayim. Did you leave over in this world children? Did you leave over in this world good deeds, things that are still in motion? Those things will, but they haven't happened yet. You planted seeds in this world. So in Shemayim, we should say, Din, that's it, you did A, B, and C, that's it, you're going to get your punishment. No. There are seeds that have been planted. Let's wait.
See how things play out.
This is a new principle that is the midah of Yaakov. Yaakov, now why do I say, because over here, why do I say that? Because Rashi emphasizes, Mimei HaDogah Ze Yaakov. What did Rashi just say one moment ago? Again, this was from the Mei, this is a little bit because it's a Soid Mei Sharim.
Yeah, all these little comments are from somebody.
We don't know it's necessarily Rashi.
We don't really know who.
Okay, but he got it, he somehow made it in. So let's work with him, even though we don't know who he is. And what it says one line before is, we start off with the dog. And then we go to Mimei HaDogah. Are you a dog or a dogah? Okay, get your grammar straight. What are you, male or female? Make up your mind, male or female. So what does Chazal say? Chazal say it starts out as a dog. It starts out, and then when Hashem sees that Yonah doesn't get the message, so what does Hashem do? Hashem tells the dog, spit him out, and put him in a female where he'll be uncomfortable, so maybe now he'll stop being mispala. Why does Hashem do that? Let Hashem just say, listen, you don't get the message, you're done, you're finished, you're not being mispala to me, you don't get the message, so you'll perish. You should get, there should be din right here and now. Hashem says, no, I'm not yet going to punish him. I'm going to give him another chance. Everything is going to be suspended. Everything is going to be delayed. How will it be delayed? It will be delayed by him going from the dog to the dogger. And there, maybe now he'll get the message. So there is no din and there is no rachamim. There is a suspension. There is a suspension, there's a change of plan. Let's see how things work it out. There's a new midah that has come into this world, which I'm giving a title called, I don't know if it's the right word, called Cheshbon. And you see this here in this Rashi of Yonah, and also that's very, it's Yom Kippur, it's right before Ne'ilah. We're learning about Yonah and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's now the moment of Din. It's the Yoim HaDin. And we've been mevakesh the whole day, Ribbono Shel Olam, have rachmanis. And now we're very desperate. Maybe we don't deserve rachmanis. And the last resort is, okay, you don't want to have rachmanis. At least grant us cheshbon. I'm using that term very loosely. Grant us cheshbon. Let's see how things play out. We deserve to be punished, maskim. Rachamim, to be moichalos, clean slate, the wool should turn white. No, I'm not doing that for you. Okay, but there's another option. The other option is, let's wait and see. Maybe during the following year, the coming year, we'll shape up. We'll be better people. And then we will be deserving of cheshbon, of rachamim. Or maybe then the din, even if we're not maybe better than, we don't, forget about it, we don't need rachamim, they'll no longer be din. Once we change and do an about face, the din goes away mimeilo. We won't even need rachamim. Yeah.
So this is a contrast between heavenly din and earthly din. Because here we say justice delayed, justice denied.
Exactly. Hit the nail on it, exactly. That's one of the... And Shemayim, they... The way...
Time is less of the essence.
Well, I don't know if time is... But there are more possibilities.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the possibilities are very different than Mishpat on this world. Your case is today. We're going to decide today. That's it. It's either yes or no, one way or another. There's no delay. That's how it is. What about the collateral damage to the people of your family? How are they going to suffer because you're going to suffer? There's nothing we can do. That's the way the world is. We don't live in a perfect world. In Shemayim, when there's punishment, it's calculated. If there's collateral damage, it's part of the cheshbon, part of the calculation. But there's also an option you know what? Let's wait and see. Let's see. That is what this pasuk over here is coming to introduce us to, the whole new idea. Vayispalo. What better pasuk can you have for tefillah when it comes to Yom Kippurim? You're being mispalo to Hashem, and here we have an incredible pasuk that you don't ever have anywhere else, at least according to Rashi. There are three midos in tefillah. There is Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, Midas Sarachanim. There is Elokov, Midas Hadin, and Rashi drops a bombshell. Mime'ei Hadagah. There's a new midah we never heard of before called Mime'ei Hadagah. A new midah. What is this new midah? Each one, Din corresponds to Yitzhak. That we all know. Yitzhak was Midas Hadin. Avraham was Midas Hachesed. Mime'ei Hadagah, inside of the stomach of the fish, is a new midah of Yaakov. What's this new midah of Yaakov? Well, Rashi himself says, things were not going according to plan. Yonah is stubborn. I tell him what to do. He goes on the ship. He runs away. I create a storm. They throw him into the sea. I now prepare a fish. And now in the fish, he still doesn't want to dive into me. He's guilty, guilty, guilty. Hashem says, one more chance. We're going to spit him out from one fish into another fish. We're going to still wait and see. This is the midah of Cheshbon, the midah of Yaakov Avinu, and that sometimes we have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, grant us this midah of Yaakov, of let's wait and see, as we find here in this pasuk, Mimei Hadagah. Now let's go back to the mitzvahs in this pasuk, into the mitzvahs in this pasuk, pasuk beis. Okay, pasuk beis. Mimei Hadagah. Omru Razal Batchila Beloy Dog. Okay, Chazal say in the beginning Batchila Beloy Dog Zohar V'Omad Shom Berevach. He had plenty of room. V'Loy Nosan Daitoy Lehispalel V'Romas Hamokim LaHadog V'Kir Hashem was Merames to the dog to spit him out. Elpi Hadogo V'Shem Omad V'Doichem Avnechu Ubarim, because there was other little fish inside. V'Hispalel. Same exact thing as Rashi. Okay, now let's take a look over here. These two sukkim of Radak. Radak, Pasik, Aleph, and Beis. Vayiman, Inyan, Zimun. So far everyone is on the same page. It means, to, at least well, not so, Rashi did not even bother to tell us the Pshat. Rashi only ran to the Medrash of Mon. But the Radak learns the similar to what we learned in the Mitzudois. It means Zimun, Kimayashar Mina es Ma'achalchem. Hashem prepared your food. I said before, he prepared your food. Rakel Yisparach his Minoi Lefi Sha'ah, Shohutal Yoina Bayam, Hizmin Hadang Shebeloi Hashem Veloitova Bayam. Hashem put him in position. Hashem already was Bora, the Refuah Koidim the Makom. Okay, here is another Inyan of Yonah, another very beautiful concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu always creates the Refuah Koidim the Makom. Hashem knew that he would be thrown into the Yam, and Hashem already put the way, way in advance, prepared there should be a fish, and the fish should be exactly the proper size and everything that was necessary, and to be in the right location. Timing is everything. To be in the right place, the right time, in order to swallow. How many things in life do we always look at and we say, we look back and we say, timing is everything. Everything is timing. To be v'loitava b'yam v'zeh hoya echa min hanisim. This one of the miracles, the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, v'yaman memuno hoya hadog misheshes Yimei Bereshis Livloya Es Yoina. Rabbi Tarfon says that this word Vayiman is not an ordinary Vayiman. It was already prepared from Yishesh Yimei Bereshis. That's how far back HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared. This event is so significant. The story of Nineveh, the story of Yonah, what to learn from Yonah is so significant. Hashem already put this in preparation all the way from the time of creation. Okay, now let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim, a few minutes, the Malbim. Pasig, Pasig Beis, Radak. Pasig Beis, because it's one Radak. Page 423. Vayispalel Yonah. Yonah was mispalel. Neis gadol hayoshoye b'mei hadag shaloisha yamim u'shloisha leilois v'uchay, and he survived. V'yod neis acher, another miracle, shaloi nitham. He did not lose his mind. He did not become insane. Ela omad bedaita uvesichlo vehispalel. He had the presence of mind to daven properly. Rashi was telling us that the Tali Zebezeh, the koyach of tzvilah depends upon a clear mind. Okay, it's a very big bracha, and he's telling us that there is a very big musa haskel. A person is blessed with sanity. Okay, unfortunately, we know that you can't take that for granted. You have a duty to the greatest thing that you can utilize a clear mind is for the koyach of tefillah. Because Rachman Lutzon, when a person is not in a clear state of mind, what can he not do? He cannot be mispalel. So here he writes that what was the miracle? That he had the ability to be mispalel. And what does that mean? It means that he had a clear mind in this matzav, yeah?
I wonder if that goes back to his training as a navi, the ability to
maintain sanity in most difficult focus, in difficult circumstances. Okay, must be.
What did Jonah do? I must have missed that.
What did he do the 3 days? And then
what did he do to deserve this?
Because he ran away from Hashem. Hashem gave him a direct order to go to Nineveh and to deliver a message to the people there. And he said to Hashem, no, I'm not interested. Goodbye. He gets on a ship and he goes to Tarshish. He disobeyed a direct order.
He didn't fulfill his obligation as another.
That's correct. Hashem came to him and told him, I have a mission for you. This is what you're like in the army. Okay, if you disobey a direct order, you're on trial. There's a court martial, and you're disciplined, and it can be even they could even execute a person if they feel that his disobedience is a threat to the army, to his unit. And here Yonah, he's on a mission. Hashem invested in him to become a navi. It's not a given. It's a gift. Hashem invested in Yonah to nurture and develop him into becoming a Navi. And after all that, you go and you disobey, you betray me. After all of the extra siyata Shema I've given you to become who you are, you don't do your mission. He was held accountable. And Hashem could have killed him in a moment. But Hashem did for him this great, great miracle. He allowed him to survive for 3 days and 3 nights in this fish. And now he is mispalel. And we should not take it lightly. To enumerate the number of miracles that have happened. And one of the miracles is that in going 3 days and three nights, this is something which should naturally lead to insanity. Because only that much torture a person can endure before he cracks up. It's a mitzvah. Okay, they have people who are soldiers who are captured, Rahman al-Slan, and they have studies. How long can they hold out before they give away secrets? Okay, if they go and they capture a soldier, he knows exactly where his unit, where all the secrets of the other side. How long can he survive? Can he hold out before he's going to give over all of the secrets because he's being tortured? He's over here in a massive of torture for 3 days, 3 nights in a fish. And yet he still has the presence of mind to daven with Kavanah to Hashem. The Radak says, this is nothing less than miraculous. We have a hard time even making a bracha with Kavanah, even though we have everything. Okay, what are we lacking in this world? Machosar in America. What does the person have? And yet we can't even go and have Kavanah to make a bracha. And here Yonah is in a matziv of torture for 3 days and 3 nights, and yet he's able to have a clear presence of mind to daven to Hashem. It's an incredible miracle. Hadoga, the Radak, the expert on grammar. So you could imagine this is a field day for the Radak. When he has over here the contrast to two psukim, one pasuk says dog, and one says doga. So you think he wants it like Rashi and said that it was a medrash, and yet what does he say? Kimo hadog. V'yavai b'loshem zoch or nikeva. Okay, isn't that amazing? The Radak, who's the world-renowned expert on Diktuk, when it comes here to the word dog and dog god, the Radak says, big deal. It's all the same.
Yeah.
And it's Rashi. He's not so mach. I don't know. Rashi Rashi says, no, dog god, is a ganz medrash. The Radak says, no big deal. It's just a collective noun. The word dagah, he's just saying it's not a big deal. It's a collective noun. It does not have any significance. V'yesh drosh. Okay, someone goes say ki nikeva hoisa no tagas nikeva umem mimei eina b'makayim beis. So he comes to explain this, the original question. If really the word dagah was a feminine, it should say bimei ha-dagah. Okay, that's where the radak is coming from. If the word dagah really is a feminine form of fish, which means we're dealing with a female fish, then it should say vayispalel yono el Hashem elokav bimei ha-dagah. That would be the grammatically correct way to express this idea that Yonah was mispalel to Hashem instead of a female fish. But it doesn't say that. It says, mime'ei ha-dagah. So that, I don't know the nuances of all of these expressions, is what is really leading, driving the Radak to say the word dagah does not mean a female fish. It's a collective noun. It's just a term referring to fishhood, fish kind. Make up a word. Fish kind, mankind, fish kind. Mimei hadaga. It doesn't have any significance because it says mimei hadaga. So he says, no, if you really want to be a stickler and say the word daga means a female fish and you're disturbed why there's a mem, we could solve that for you. Umem mimei hadaga eina b'mokoyim beis ela reitzo loymar ki mitoichat sarah. The word mem doesn't mean from within. It's a figurative mem. It means from the situation of being tortured in this matzav. If it would be a base, it would connote a physical location. Yonah davened to Hashem in the Beis Medrash Shel Hadaga. He established a koilel inside the fish. He was in the fish. Now what do you do when you're in the fish? In your big fish, you establish a koilel. Okay, what kind of koilel? Whatever, he probably had two shuls. He made two shuls in the fish. The shul that he davens in, and the shul that he doesn't daven in. He made two different shuls inside the stomach of the fish. So Yonah davened, bimei hadagah, inside the shul in the fish. If it would say a beis, that's what it would mean. But it doesn't say a beis. It says, mimei hadagah. And that means, it doesn't mean in physically inside. It means he davened to Hashem from the tzora, out of in response to the situation, to his ordeal, the ordeal and pain and sorrow of being in this matzav of being locked up in the fish and being uncomfortable and having tsar. That's how the mem changes the entire structure of the pasuk. Ki mitoich al rosh ki mitoich hatzara. Due to the pain, the situation of being in this matzav, hispalel. And I have a precedent for this. Mimamakim, we say this so many times, when we spell for a person, now we have a whole new beautiful insight. See, learn over here, this radak, and now something very practical. Mimamakim kirasicha Hashem. What does that mean?
From the depths.
So what do Chazal say? This Chazal, they said that you should take steps down when you daven. When you go to a shul, that the shliach tzibur should daven in a pit. Why? In fact, in the olden days, right? Remember Rabbi Kahn's old shul?
Yeah.
On East 17th Street between J and K. So he built a shul where you had the shliach tzibur and actually had to step down into a pit. Right. So no more.
There are some shuls.
There are shuls. Breuer's in
Baltimore, in
Queens, in Or HaChaim. Arachim is Lander. Rabbi Lander has a big, besides Lander's College, around the corner, there's another yeshiva called Or HaChaim, which also is, he's the Rashiva of that beautiful, beautiful building, beautiful yeshiva. And they're also there, it's a brand new building, it's already 20 years, but also the Shliach Tzibur goes down, descends into a pit to the place where he's the Mispal. I once read an article and said that this idea of a pit is not correct. That what it means, based upon research, it means that in the ancient times, the shuls were built like movie theaters. Today's movie theaters, where the whole floor inclines downwards. So when you're sitting, you can see what's going on. Okay, I think
cool. stadium seating.
Stadium seating that they have, you know, the Jewish Center. The Jewish Center in Manhattan, it's also built like that, where it's you go down. And the youngest flat is like that? It's flat?
Slight.
What?
Slight angle.
It's not straight.
No, upstairs, the balcony.
But that. So therefore, if an entire shul is built on a slight incline, then the shliach tzibur is mimamakim. Go down to daven. You go down to the front of the shul to daven. So that's why the minig is mimamakim grosich Hashem. Now, according to that does not fit with what we just said. That's what's going to point out. Mimamakim, that means from the depth, means from the physical location in the Beis HaKnesses that is at its lowest point. Mimamakim grosich Hashem. He, the Radak, is telling us that that's really what it means. Then it should say be makim kirasicha Hashem. It should not say mima makim bimakim kirasicha. In the base, in the part of the base HaKnesses that is at its lowest point, I called out to you. The fact that it does not say bim akim kirasicha Hashem, but it says mi mamakim, there's a mem instead of a base, means the word makim does not mean a physical pit. It means a tzara. When a person is in a matzav, a situation where I feel like I'm drowning, I feel like I'm in a low in my life, and I have no one to pull me out. Depths of despair. So the mem, the fact that there are two mems, the prefix is a mem, it changes the word from a physical depth to a frame of mind, a situation of helplessness. And that's then the pshat. So then it comes out then that there's no, if that is correct, according to the Radak, then there's no such source anywhere that you should daven, that the shliach tzibur should daven in a pit. Or should build the Beis HaKnesses on an incline where he is davening from the lowest portion of the shul. But the truth is, Elu v'Elu divrei Elokim chayim, it's in Shulchan Aruch, that indeed the Shliach Tzibur should daven from a low point, a physical low point, and it also has a mem. So obviously, there is truth, the elements of truth to both interpretations. But it's very, very fascinating. Here you have this example, Mime'ei ha-dogah. It says here with mem, it doesn't say a beis. If it would have said a beis, it would clearly refer to the beis HaKnesses shel hadog, and it doesn't say that, so that it means from the situation of being in this fish. And then, if that's indeed what it means, then indeed the word hadogah can indeed mean a female fish. If it would be mimei, if it would be, but if it would be from a physical location, then the word hadogah, I don't know the nuance of how that's true in grammar, then the word hadogah would not necessarily mean a female fish, it would mean from fish, like we find other psukim that use the word dogah in reference just to the min, to the species, this creature, this inyan. So all of these elements come together. The Maimer Chazal, dog versus dogah, did it really happen that he was spit out from a male to a female because he was misbehaving in the male fish? Or does it mean just the words are interchangeable? Does it depend on the prefix of the mem? And in general, what is the prefix of a mem really refer to? Does it mean a physical location, or does it refer to a situation, a frame of mind? And it has relevance to the word mi mamakim. Does it mean from a situation, or does it mean from a physical location? Minametzar karosika, similar to minametzar, means from the straits. You see, the word mimamakim is similar to the word minametzar, from a matzav of tsar. Metzar, tsar means pain. Mem means from a situation of pain. It doesn't mean from the straits. It doesn't mean minametzar. I'm walking on a path where I...
Pressure, or
it's a frame of mind, stress from a state of stress. Okay, we'll stop here.